Welcome to Bollywood is for Lovers. I'm Erin Fraser.
And I'm Matt Bowes. In this supplemental episode, we're joined by a frequent Bollywood podcast guest and our friend, Nim, a.k.a. Maple Brownie, to recap our experiences at the opening night of the India Film Festival of Alberta.
Before we begin, we would like to respectfully acknowledge that we record this podcast on Treaty 6 territory, home to First Nations and Métis people. Nim, welcome back. I am so excited you were able to fit us into your very busy podcast schedule. You're recording lot of stuff right now.
Not a lot.
Well, you're recording some very big episodes.
Yes.
That before we get into what we're going to be talking about here, tell us about what you've been up to at Bollywood Drafts.
Yeah,
with our good friend Manish.
Yeah, Manish was kind enough to invite me out to do a couple of his Bollywood Drafts, which is like a great ranking. Ranking of Films podcast, and it's amazing because it allowed me to go and revisit a lot of my favorite films and see movies in perhaps a different light, how they kind of hold up to each other over the test of time. And so I was able enough to go on earlier in June with one of his podcasts with the best Filmfare actress, mm-hmm. 24 years that we looked at, and Erin was on that as well.
Yes.
With me, and that was really fun, and we had a great time doing that one. And then I was invited back to do the Yash Chopra, which Yash Chopra is like one of my favorite film directors, and he's also been one of my moms, so I've watched a lot of his films over the years, and this is a great way again to go back and see all the films. And also I didn't realize like there was a handful of movies, especially from his earlier career, that I hadn't watched, so it was a good way of us to like go and take a look at those and see how he's grown as a, you know, director and a producer. And yeah, so we just released the first podcast episode of that one, part one, which is the bottom nine rankings, last week on September 12th. So check out Bollywood Drafts by Manish Mathur. And we're recording the second part coming up soon. So can't wait to have you guys listen to that one too.
I don't know how Manish is doing it.
How many hours of movies has he watched doing these things?
I don't know.
It's crazy.
And coordinating with all the guests. And and it's a lot of recordings.
It's a lot, yeah.
So thank you for being us in.
I'm happy to be here.
Oh, good. And Matt and I are doing another one coming up soon.
We're doing horror movies.
I don't know. I don't know if he's told people about that yet, but yeah. I guess we'll.
I'm sure it'll be at the end of your next episode.
So. Yeah,
here's the scoop.
We'll spill the beans. But we are here to talk about our recent experiences at a film festival. Not the big one that Canada is known for that just happened.
Yeah.
Not TIFF, but the India Film Festival of Alberta. Now, Matt and I have covered this festival in the past.
A couple times, yeah.
It's been going on for 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
It's put on by the Edmonton Movie Club, which is
increasingly weirdly named Edmonton Movie Club.
Yeah. Which is a nonprofit group here in Edmonton that distributes or kind of puts on screenings of Indian cinema, primarily South Indian cinema, throughout the year. And then
they distribute sometimes too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have also like brought movies to essentially all across Canada, so mm-hmm. not just here in Edmonton, despite the name Edmonton Movie Club, but all the way into the Maritimes.
Did it actually start off as a club?
I'm not
like,
too sure.
Like, the name is odd.
I'm not
like,
too
I said
sure.
odd because it's going across the country, but also it's
and
really
across the province.
It's not really a club, it's more like a film society.
Yes, mm-hmm. yeah.
That would make more sense.
Yeah. But for the past 10 years, they've been hosting the India Film Festival of Alberta.
Should be the Indian Film Festival.
Yes. It's a name that I always find a bit of a tongue twister. In fact, even one of the speakers at the event called it the Indian Film Festival of Alberta. But it's the India Film Festival of Alberta.
Yeah.
And we've been, we haven't gone every year. Because there's not always, like, we typically cover Hindi language films.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's primarily what we are interested in. That is the industry that we follow. And
it's what the show's about.
It's what the show's about. And the festival covers films from all language groups. And so there isn't always things that we're necessarily interested in covering.
But we have seen some good stuff there.
We have, yes. That's where we saw Lipstick Under My Burqa.
Yeah.
Newton.
A Death in the Gunge.
A Death in the Gunge.
Angamali Diaries?
We saw Angamali Diaries at a Edmonton Movie Club screening, not at the festival.
Not at the festival. Hmm. Yeah.
Angry Indian Goddesses. Like,
yeah.
We've seen some excellent movies there over the years. But, you know, again, like...
Kind of around those 2 years when all those movies came out, actually. That was sort of the high point for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'd agree. I've been, because I went to the Lipstick Under My Burqa screening as well, because that was when Madhavan was the guest of the night, and being a big fan, I really wanted to see him, and I got a picture, which was awesome. But yeah, so again, I haven't been very consistent with the film festival as well, but I've gone for a couple of like the major screenings here and there. So this year, seeing the list of people coming, it really did pique my interest, so.
Yeah, we went last year to see Divaar and Dawn.
Which we'll get into when we talk about the other event that we did with this festival, but yeah, they were able to bring in some of the things from the Amitabh Bachchan retrospective, which I really, really enjoyed. We've never been able to see Divaar with great subs before, so it was fantastic, and it looked beautiful.
Yeah, that was like, and seeing Dawn on the big screen, which is one of my favorite films, like that.
Yeah.
Those are definitely highlights. This year, as I said, it was the 10th anniversary. The opening night was on September 6th here in Edmonton. And we'll kind of tell you about what that event entailed, what we were promised the event
which
entailed,
we all
and then our experience.
Yeah.
But the festival, kind of as we said, doesn't just kind of stop with Edmonton. This past weekend, it was also in Calgary, and it's traveling to Red Deer, Sherwood Park, Fort McMurray, Regina, Toronto, Halifax. I wonder if
Wait, some of those names seem very far away from us.
I wonder if they use the name Alberta when it travels to those places.
Not
because
sure.
That's like saying, like, oh yeah, our California Film Festival will be in Los Angeles, San Diego, capital of North Dakota, New York City, and Hawaii.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. Because the films are not like Indian films made in Alberta. There are films from India. The opening night film this year was Goomer, which has been out for over a year now. But the reason why it was the opening night film is because some of the stars were in attendance. And I think this is one of the big reasons why we all bought a ticket and wanted to go.
Yeah, pretty much the only reason.
So they included Shabana Azmi, Sayami Kher, director Art Balki, his wife, who produced the film and is also a director in her own right, Corey Shinde, was supposed to be there, but was not. And then Vikram Massey, who is not at all related to the film, but I guess is continuing to promote 12th Fail since...
And his new one was also premiering.
Yes.
Which looks pretty good. We didn't get a chance to see it, but it looks
good.
We
found that out later.
Yeah.
I feel like...
And Tarsem Singh was supposed to be there, but he dropped out or just mysteriously left the website? The website's something we'll get into.
Well, yeah, I think we'll get into some of the frustrations. But the event, it was hard to figure out what was going to be going on with the festival.
Yeah.
But tickets for this event were available pretty early. It was at the Winspear Center here in Edmonton, which really is like a world-class facility. Matt and I have
It's a world-class facility for music. It is not a film venue.
Yeah, it's not a film venue. But Matt and I have been fortunate enough to receive some backstage tours of the construction that's currently going on in the Winspear.
Oh, cool.
And that organ that's in there really is like a jewel in North America. It
and
is known for its sound.
Yeah. They do these movie screenings there at Halloween where they have this guy come in and play the organ along with a silent horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. That's what this thing is built for, but not for like a movie.
Yeah.
No. I was quite surprised that they chose the Windspear because, again, I wasn't sure how they're going to do the projection of the film.
Mm-hmm.
The stage is fairly small. It was a very choice kind of, you know, use of the venue, but I wasn't sure, but I was like, okay, we'll go in with an opening kind of mind about how they'll be, but it was a bit of chaos, I will say.
Yeah. The Windspear is also where our symphony plays, for people don't know. So it's, you know, it's
acoustically sound. Like, that is what it was built for, was for the musical aspect of, like, you know, the symphony and musical acts. I've been to many concerts there, and I've even seen Sonu Nigam perform there, which it was beautiful to have him in that place. But, again, not something you would associate a film with.
No, it... Yeah, I agree.
They have like a little screen they can pull down.
Yeah.
But it's not like an actual movie screen.
No. So yes, I agree. Like, kind of an unusual choice for this event.
But it is a nice building. It's a nice venue.
Yeah. And the event, you know, kind of promised that the, you know, the guests would be there. And I don't want to say, like they said, you know, come out and meet the stars. So I think there is a bit of an expectation of maybe not one-on-one personal interaction, but that you would get an opportunity to see and hear from them. And that was a big selling point for us. These are big names. You know, Siobhan Azmi is an icon. Sammy Caron, Vikrant Massey are very up-and-coming stars that we are interested in. Matt and I quite like some of Arabelle's movies. We did skip Goomer when we were kind of watching everything last year because we're just a little, it's overwhelming. It's a cricket film and we're a little tired of sports movies. We're tired of sports movies and military movies. And so those
inspirational
are
biopics,
yeah.
Have you seen Goomer?
No, actually, I have not. And that was like, you know, it was. I know,
and I learned. The movies we were there to attend, none of us stayed to watch.
But it was one of those things that was another reason why I was like, okay, like, you know, go. I haven't seen it because I canceled my Netflix subscription. So I'm trying to be more mindful of, like, you know, my streaming services and everything. And so I was like, it's on Netflix. This is a way I can go out and support the movie and see it. But yeah, it didn't turn out the way, the evening did not turn out the way we were expecting it to.
We were told there would be, you know, a red carpet,
a poster display,
and also Gauri Shinde was not in attendance, which you know, we still don't know why, because they never updated the website. She's still listed on the website as one of the guests. They never updated or said, you know, due to unforeseen circumstances. Yeah. So I guess
the bare minimum is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess that's kind of a preamble to what we were going into, what we were expecting. We have been, because we all went to Lipstick Under My Burka, which was an opening night event for the Indie Film Festival of Alberta in the past, we did have a bit of an understanding that there would be some pomp and circumstance before we got to the main event. Though with Lipstick Under My Burka, we definitely showed up for the time that the film was supposed to start, and it only was delayed a little bit. So we didn't actually have to experience a lot of, I think, what we experienced the other night. So I guess who wants to take the lead of saying how the night went? I guess, like, we should start because, Nim, you were a little late.
Yes.
Sure. I mean, so we got there, the front door of Windspear, and they ask if we're VIP tickets or not.
I don't know why we looked VIP, but we were not
VIP. Definitely not VIPs. And we're not. So we go two doors down, like, it's a bank of doors. We just went two over. And there was a red carpet bisecting the room.
Yeah, so we had to figure out how to get, like, go around the red carpet to get
to the concession bar to get
some drinks.
Yeah.
So that, first of all, that was, like, a very confusing setup because they just had this red carpet going, like, straight down the middle, like, essentially to a photo backdrop, the poster display that was advertised. I don't know
that
if that's all it was this photo backdrop, but poster display to me says something else.
Yeah, but most people are in the VIP section. Some of us are in the peasant section. We wander around behind something, like, it's not like we snuck backstage or whatever. There's, like, a tunnel.
Yeah.
And we got drinks. So we're waiting around to see what happens.
Yeah. And so the red carpet, I guess, started around 6. Program was supposed to start at 7. On the closer end to 7, probably about, like, 6:45, some of the guests started arriving. They seemed confused about that they were supposed to walk down this red carpet. And immediately, like, the crowd all mingling about just swarmed.
Yeah, I mean, it's to be kind of expected.
It is to be kind of expected, and luckily, like, there were ropes up, kind of, you know, keeping this swarm of people
away
from the guests.
They're stars. They're used to this.
Yeah, we hung back because it's just not. I'm not interested in swarming someone when there's a big group of people. No shade on other people who did, though.
Yeah.
Like,
personal preference.
Yeah, exactly. But I thought we will get to see them on stage later. Like, again, I thought there would be structure. I will say it was very endearing to see, you know, especially Shabana Azmi, Siami Kerr, and Vikrant Massey, like, really talking to their fans when they arrived.
The crowd was loving it.
Yeah, because they, you know, they hung out a bit at kind of the backdrop for a while.
They were
really
getting interviewed by TV guys and...
But they really did take the time to talk to some of the attendees and talk to some of their fans who, you know, elbowed over to the front. Yeah. And I really did think that was really nice to see. I was also a little shocked to see these people in person.
Yeah.
Like, just...
it is overwhelming. You're just like, oh my God, like, they're really here.
Yeah.
They're icons and... You know, especially Shabana, I will say. Yeah, so I came later.
Yeah, so we were already sitting down and waiting for things to start. But you did get there before things start. And you had a great experience when you arrived.
Well, it was one of those things where it was like, I was feeling like, oh my God, I'm being, like, I'm rushing because, like, I'm getting behind. This is supposed to start at 7. We didn't get there till probably closer to, like, 7:30. And as we walk in, the crowd had kind of dissipated and people were sitting mostly in their seats by then, but I guess they had set up for some VIP individuals on the third or fourth floor. There was like a little meet and greet for people. And I only found out because one of my mom's like acquaintances, he was a sponsor and he's like, oh, like, you know, they're all upstairs meeting and greeting. And so he's like, you should just go and try to like go upstairs. And we're like, but we're not VIPs.
Yeah.
And so I was quite confused about that. But anyways, turns out that was the time that they're like, okay, we got to start everything. So actually, as we're kind of deciding what to do next, out of the elevator walks Shabana Azmi. And it was just like one of those moments of like, they was like, you know, you could hear angels perhaps in the background because she's just that ethereal and gorgeous. And like, as like the air about her, like, oh my God, she's amazing. And my mom's a huge fan. And so my mom being like the fan that she is, she's also very much more of a proactive individual compared to me. She wants something, she will get it done. So she took a step towards Shabana Azmi because she wanted to like see her and speak to her. And Shabana, I think, looking at my mom all dressed up, thought she was somebody important too and took a step towards my mother. And then my mom was like, you know, like, I'm a great fan of yours. I've watched you throughout my, like, you know, high school teen years and looked up to you as like, you know, a woman of the future sort of a deal. And so she realized my mom was a fan. She's like, oh, thank you. And she was really appreciative of it. And then she was like, here, let's take a picture together. And so I was snapping away at all this stuff. And she realized that the lighting was not good. So I had to turn on. So I was told by the great actress that you're not looking at the lighting. And I was like, of course,
well,
of course.
She's used to being lit.
And so then I had to turn the flash on. But yeah, so my mom got her a beautiful picture with her, which was great. And then, yeah, they went and sat down inside. And it turns out there were only two rows ahead of us where we're sitting.
Yeah, she was directly in front of me.
Yeah.
We all got our tickets pretty early, so we were like right up at the front.
Yeah.
They had little guards, little guys who were guarding the VIP section of seats, which is right in front of us. Like, okay, guards.
If I wanted
they're
to,
kids. They were literal kids.
I could have thrown popcorn at Shabana Azmi and Sammy here. I wouldn't.
And
I just want people to understand how close we were.
We were very close.
But I didn't know about that meet and greet upstairs.
Yeah.
Because that probably slowed everything else down and made everything else start late.
Yes. So I think that's why there's that half an hour delay from the 7 o'clock start to the 7:30, 7:40-ish sort
of
a deal. Is that they had to do that for the sponsors.
Something they could have planned for.
Well, again, they could have done this ahead of time. Like, you know, have the guests come around, like, you know, 6-ish.
Yeah.
And then, you know, from 6:30 to 7, they could have done the meet and greet. And, you know, but... This, I think, is the theme of the night, that there was no organization and no coordination of how these things should have happened, because it just, every little thing just kept on delaying and delaying and delaying the evening until we all kind of decided to leave and not watch the movie.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Can you remember every speech that was given?
I cannot. So you know,
I can guess.
It was the opening gala.
Yeah.
So kind of when things
Food though, just popcorn.
That, which is eventually what I was going to say about part of why we left, because this is an event that was advertised from starting at 6, like, because the red carpet started at 6,
Which
was fairly prompt.
Yeah, program was spoke well. It wasn't.
Compared to everything else,
there
yeah.
was a red carpet there, but people didn't start walking down it until, like, 6:45.
Sure, but, like, compared to everything else that happened,
yes,
that was the problem.
Yeah, you do need time for people to, like, accumulate. Yeah. Program was supposed to start at 7, film was supposed to start at 8:30. It's a good, like, 2 hours long, so from 10 to, presumably, originally, 10:30, you're there, and really the only concession item was popcorn.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the spoiler alert is one of the big reasons why we left is we were hungry.
Yeah.
I had no time. I came straight from work, yeah. got ready, picked up my mom, came straight to the venue thinking that there'd be a little bit more, something substantial, but nope. I actually had to message Aaron halfway through because I was stuck in the center seats, and I was like, I cannot leave here. Can you please get me some popcorn? Because I am literally dying of hunger.
Yeah. And, I mean, like, yeah, popcorn is what, like, movie theaters generally serve. I mean, I think there maybe were...
This isn't a movie theater, though.
Yes. I think there maybe were a few other, like, banana breads or things that, like, just the stuff that the Windspear usually has. Right. But, like, for an event that's quite long, we needed food.
How many people would you say were there? I'm going to guess 250, maybe?
I would say... Well, because, like, the first, like, I think the main section, the floor section, was pretty sold out from what I could see. And there was also the upper balcony also had a few people on it. I would say it was closer to perhaps 300 or so. Yeah. Like, it did seem fairly busy for the event.
It's a rare Indian event where the balcony is not full and everyone wants to be on the main floor.
Yeah. So, anyways, it started a bit late. We were introduced to our Masters of Ceremonies, which were two grade 12 students.
They just graduated grade 12.
Who I don't think had read the script ahead of time.
Definitely not.
Or had been prepared to speak in front of that many people. And also a number, like, not only the guests in the audience, but also a number of dignitaries and politicians, etc. Like, it's pretty intimidating.
Yeah.
As someone who screws up names out professionally, you know... I get this, but also, I don't speak Hindi. That would help.
I think the biggest thing is, like, especially when you have certain individuals internationally coming over for that level of, like, you know, of a gala per se, you want to put your best foot forward.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You want to ensure that whoever's going to be up on that stage speaking can pronounce the names properly. Mm-hmm. And can enunciate it appropriately as well, too.
Yeah.
Because having grade 12 students that, you know... I understand that they were trying to promote, like, you know, next generation or, like, younger generation kind of a deal. But when these people, these kids don't speak the language, they don't have the ability to say the names properly. It's a disrespect to that individual. Like, the way you said Shabana Azmi, like, this beautiful, flawless, right?
But the way they said Shayami Kher, for a second, I thought, oh, do I not know how to say Shayami?
Did she say Shayami, I think?
She said Shayami, and she said Kher.
Yeah.
Shayami Kher.
Yeah.
Which is, like, completely butchering the name. And I felt like every time I heard the names being said, I was dying inside a little bit more. And I was like, I feel for the actors and the directors that are here, and they're having to listen to this... level of, like, you know, it's disrespect, essentially, right? Because, like, you're not taking, these are names that you can easily go online and get, you know, YouTube them, see people other saying it, whatever, you can get an ear for it. You may not be perfect, but you would not be mispronouncing it to the level that we heard that night, which I don't even want to try to attempt some of them, because it was, like, it was horrible. And I just think that they did not think that part through, and it really was almost like an insulting for everyone to hear, right? Yeah. Because when you've got, again, these were top-notch icons and upcoming actors that are, you know, renowned now, not just, like, in India, but now they're getting international acclaim, too, for their, like, filmography. It was horrible.
Yeah.
These are JC teenagers, though. It's not, like, two white kids or something.
No.
But also, we also know their ages because they mentioned just having graduated high school.
Yeah.
Like, we're not guessing. They told us.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I know that Matt and I have struggled with our pronunciation over the many years that we've been doing this podcast, but we're not getting up in front of it, like, at an event like
had
this.
Had they asked us to do it, we would have said no for that exact reason.
They also just, I didn't have the charisma or the, like, they didn't know how to work a crowd. Yeah. They didn't know how to host this kind of event.
They could host their high school graduation party. Yes. That would have been fun.
They felt nervous. Mm-hmm. They were reading off a script. They didn't follow all the directions. So there, at one point, they announced the only time that the guests went on stage. They announced them on stage and then realized they had messed it up and we had to do it all over again.
Well, and just taking it back, so they come on stage to do their introductions, and this is what started to drag out the night, because they'd read a name, we'd all clap.
Yeah.
Then they'd tell their accomplishments, we'd all clap. Then they'd read another name and we'd clap. And then there's all their accomplishments, and we clap. And we had to do this for about 8 individuals.
Yeah.
Could you imagine the amount of time it took to go through all of that stuff and have everyone clap and, you know, let the crowd settle and everything and do it 8 times over? I was just like, my hands by the end of the evening. I was like, this is not what I was here for. I wanted to enjoy this. I wanted to hear them speak. I didn't want to hear about this. And then after their introductions, there was a moment where I guess the main organizer decided to come up and give his little spiel about what the Edmonton Movie Club and the film festival is and everything. But he himself, again, went through each and every individual and gave a blurb about each person. And again, every single time, we had to clap.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this is useless and a waste of time, because we know who these people are. That's why we're all here.
Yeah. It's not a surprise.
It's not a surprise. And we don't need to hear this 3 times over, because that's what it felt like by that moment.
I'm getting slightly drunk as well, because I haven't had any food and I'm drinking wine. But also,
it was extremely repetitive.
Yes,
because
it was.
We also had to do that for a number of politicians who came up and gave greetings.
But before I get to the politicians, let me explain something about the stage, because the Windspear is for doing concerts on, right?
Yes.
So you kind of have to wait off in the wings, which are further away from the microphone than they would be at, say, like a theatrical theater.
Like the Jubilee Auditorium.
Yeah, so every time someone had to go on stage, they would either walk all the way from outside and back onto stage by the mic.
Oh, right, yeah.
Or, like some of the politicians who were stage left, walk all the way across the stage to get to the microphone. So
there wasn't anyone making sure that they were there prepared to walk right on stage.
Just have them
lined up.
Get him in the hallway.
Yeah.
You know, don't have us all watch. Anyway, the physical layout was incorrect.
But this disorganization did lead to one of the best moments of the evening for Matt.
Oh.
So the only...
The speeches, too. We've got to get into that.
Well, okay. Yeah. We'll put a pin in that.
Yeah.
But yes, we had to hear from a number of politicians who we are familiar with, you know, the mayor of Edmonton, the leader of the opposition, other members of parliament.
Well, okay, it was Brian Genuis, who is the
MP for Sherwood Park.
Yeah, he's MP for Sherwood Park in Strathcona County, which is not exactly
Edmonton.
And also, I'm pretty sure he's there because his wife's going.
Yes.
Right? Like, that's got to be it. And he had a joke about, like, oh, as much as the electorate looked at my bona fides, her family did way more. Wacka wacka doodle. Like, great. Nick Glubish, the minister for IT for the province.
Mm-hmm. Again, from Sherwood Park.
Yeah, and not, like, connected to the film industry, to culture at all.
At least the official leader of the opposition is the MP for Millwoods.
Yes.
She's white, but she's the MP for Millwoods, which is, like, a big area where Indian people live.
Right? Yes, and she comes out to all of the events, like, Indian and other, like, you know, I've seen her at the Munders for, like, you know, celebrating Janmashtami. I've seen her at the Gurdwaras when we have Vaisakhi. She's always at all the events that we're hosting.
She's also currently the rep of, like, the opposition, of the other major political party in Alberta.
Bruce headed by Naheed Nenshi, which would have been nice had he been there, but he's probably busy, but this is a good constituency you want to be there for.
Yeah, yes.
But also, like, I was trying to imagine in my head, like, I wonder what Sahami care? Does she care about all these different political parties?
Well, exactly.
If I had to explain this to her, how would I do so?
Yeah,
exactly. Like, what value is this bringing? Like, we know who these people are, but what... But it's not even bringing value for me.
No.
I don't need to hear these people speak. What value is it bringing for
movie stars from another country
who traveled all the way here from India? From what I understand, Sahami Kher had like a 24-hour, like she had quite...
she had a delay, I think, in her flight and stuff.
Yeah, and she ended up like being in the air for something like 20 hours just to get here in time. Like, We had two land acknowledgements. Obviously, Matt and I think land acknowledgements are very important.
We can explain what those are if you're interested and you don't know. Ask us online.
Yeah, it is a bit of that kind
It's a Canadian thing.
It's a reconciliation project order to help bring like more cultural awareness from like where we've been to where we're at, and hopefully to bring both groups of, you know, Indigenous individuals and the current population to have better camaraderie, essentially, I think.
It's certainly something that they probably don't do in India, and it would have been nice had they kind of tied in a little bit.
Yeah.
To sort of explain to the dignitaries, like,
I think
we're doing
an explication, explanation would have been, you know, great to understand, so the people that are here internationally would understand what we're trying to do, there was none of that.
And then about coming to the space, acknowledging also that this space and this land is Indigenous land, and one of the reasons why
we do it at the beginning of every podcast,
why Matt and I do it at the beginning of our podcast, is because Bollywood is post-colonial cinema.
Yes,
and so we feel like, and we are in a post-colonial country.
Yes,
you could argue still colonial, and so we think it is important to bring that context, and also it's a sign of respect.
Yeah.
However, I don't understand why we did it several times.
and going back to the politicians as well, like, I don't understand why we needed to have each and every politician come to the stage to give their greetings, to bring their, like, you know, thanks and respects or whatever, because that was half an hour of our time that the guests had no clue on.
Yeah.
And not more.
Yeah. And I will say, like, it wasn't just us. Like, there was a lady and her daughter sitting next to myself, and they were kind of whispering to each other, and I kind of realized that they were like, what is happening? And I was telling her, like, we don't even know what's happening. And it's like, this is an event that we've traveled to and, like, attended before. Like, I've done an opening night gala with them before.
Yeah.
It has never been this long, and it has never drawn out so much that people were starting to lose their interest at this point, essentially.
You could feel the audience turn on the event.
Yes.
I was joking with the lady behind me. This is the 10th anniversary. We're going to be here for the 11th by the end of this.
There were also some performances sprinkled in, some musical performances, some dance performances, which is nice, except again, and I felt bad for the performers because at that point, everyone is just done
They're
with
antsy,
this.
Yeah.
They want to move on. And so I felt bad that here's a moment where these people got to perform in front of people they probably admire, and everyone's kind of turning
on. So there was Gujarati, Punjabi, and what other kind of dancing?
Well, there's only two dances. Yeah. So there's a Gujarati women's dance, and there was a women's Bhangra dance, which was great. I mean, there were amazing performances, but it was just like, unfortunately, the timing of when they put them on was so far back at the program that everyone was just like fatigued and sitting in their seats in that, right?
Very well done.
Yeah.
And there was Indigenous dancing too, which I was wondering, it would be kind of interesting to explain to Vicar Massey what's going on here. Maybe the organizers could have done so, because that might have been...
Well, there was no discussion of, like, why they were, again, bringing on certain, you know, groups or whatever. They're trying to, like, you know, promote a multicultural aspect of our city.
Yeah.
But it was just, like... And then there's, like, the song performances were beautiful. Like, they were, like, there's one that was in honor of Shabana Azmi, and then there's one done for Vikrant Masi with his, like, you know, 12th Fail song.
Yeah.
But they were fairly long performances as well, too. And, and again, it's just one of those things where I don't know if they actually timed out how these performances were, because in between all these speeches and everything, you have this. It's just, we're supposed to be there to watch a movie.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be there to, like, have a bit of an interaction hearing the stars of the film and everything, right? None of that is happening at this time.
They
and
barely mention the movies at all. They're like, the glitz, the glamour, like, hey, say something about the movies that these people have done.
Yeah.
You think at one point someone would have said, because, you know, everyone kept bringing up 12th Fail, which I get. I loved 12th Fail too.
It's a very popular film.
But at no point did anyone say that, like, A Death in the Gunge played at this festival years ago.
That's where we learned we like Vikrant Massey.
Yeah, that's where we really fell in love with Vikrant Massey.
Yeah.
That's kind of where people started noticing him, I think, as an actor, right?
Yeah, like, I'd seen Lutera and Dil Dadakane Do, where he has some small roles
but
before that. But then A Death in the Gunge, like, that movie, I adore that film, and it made a huge impact on me.
Yeah.
And you just kind of think they would have mentioned, you know.
Especially given, like you said, that they had actually screened it at, like, one of their festivals. Like,
well, they also showed their trailer for the 10th season of the festival.
Yeah.
For some reason, because, like, it has a few of maybe scenes from the movie that we were watching that day, or movies from, you know, these actors' past, but it's also no context.
Mm-hmm.
No context whatsoever. And also celebrations of various events that this organization has done. And again, like, why are we seeing this?
Mm-hmm.
Is this about movies, or is this about politicians? Later on, we get some property developers going on there and shaking hands and...
Right, like, so the only time that the guests were on stage was when they were called up to be handed some awards.
It was, like, basically, I think, like, a presentation of, like, certificate or something. Like, it was framed. They were pretty big.
Yeah.
I don't even know how these people are going to take them home. I'm not sure if they did take them home.
I suspect they did. Well, especially because Sayami here, after this, flew to Berlin to participate in an Ironman.
She lost her luggage.
And lost her luggage.
The airport lost her luggage, yeah.
Yeah. She's got it back. She's participating in the...
Ironman.
I think it's, like, a triathlon.
Ironman.
Yeah. One of my big regrets of this whole thing was that, like, I didn't get to hear Sayami Kerr speak at all, because I actually didn't know, and I'm embarrassed to say this, because I've liked her performances in the past, and I am very interested to see, you know, what she's going to be in next. I think she's fantastic in Choked and Sharmajiki Betty. I didn't realize that she herself is a former cricket player, that she's an athlete. I'm now, like, so interested in this, like, in how she balances being an athlete and an actress, but we never got to hear her speak. They came up on stage, accepted these plaques. This is where Matt gets to say the best thing that happened to him that evening.
Sure. We also forgot to mention that the Secretary General for India, a diplomat, was there. And he mentioned
the consul.
He was one of the few guys. Him and Sohi were just like, Siobhan Osmi, I really liked your movies. When I met you in Berlin, or no, Johannesburg, we talked about such and such a thing. That's
and
kind of what I was hoping for.
So he mentioned that Siobhan Osmi has been here before to perform on stage. I did not know that.
Yes.
You know,
That was interesting.
Yeah, and again, I see hearing from them, but not everyone we had to hear from. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, I went to the bathroom and took away his next to Vikram Massey, who was supposed to be going up and getting such and such award. I was bored. And there were guys in the bathroom like, dude, I loved you in 12 Fail. And I'm like, this is so awkward. I'm not going to say anything. Won't even look at the guy. Just kind of like, you know, He's a regular guy. Just let him do his business. Don't bug him.
But that is a hilarious brush with
him. It is fun.
You ran into Vikram Massey in the
That's pretty fun.
That's my 15 minutes of fame is running into that. But
he briefly got to speak just because one of the presenters, one of the sponsors forced him to.
And what did he talk about? He talked about Shumble, which is the area in 12th Fail that guy was from, that was infested with Dacoits, and they got Vikram Massey to say, like, and that part of India has less Dacoits now. We did it, everybody.
Free.
Like, didn't really talk about the movie at all, but, you know, the crime levels, they're on the way down.
So
it was awkward.
After they accepted these awards, they left. And at this point, it's like close to 10 o'clock. It's like 9:45, and the movie is just starting. Because all the guests leave, everyone else leaves. And
probably
no
10% of the people stayed.
And no one stayed to watch the movie, including us. And we were hungry.
Yeah.
It's not a great presentation venue for a movie.
No.
And we knew we could watch it at home.
Yeah.
We were hungry.
It was not a premiere.
No, it wasn't a premiere for that. So there was no reason to stay. And for me, I mean, because you had left to go to the bathroom. My mom had followed suit.
And I did run into Shana Osmi, not in the bathroom, but she was leaving. And, you know, every step she took, people were, like, wanting to take a photo with her. And I just...
Which is what her life is like.
Yeah, it is what her life is like. But she also needed to go get dinner. So I just kind of hung around and gazed. I thought, like, if you invite people to an event and you say, you know, come meet the stars, again, I'm not expecting personal one-on-one interaction. I'm not expecting it to be like Comic-Con where they're taking photos with people and sitting at a booth. But I did expect some sort of Q&A.
Or a speech or something.
Talk, yeah.
Yes.
We'll have them on stage and, like, at least have them say a little bit about their, you know, film work. Or especially given, like, it was supposed to be about Coomer. I'm sure Sammy could have said a couple of words about that. And Shabana as well, because I believe she's in it as well, too. So,
or
like...
Or Balki.
Yeah.
Who never saw... Like,
no.
He did walk the red carpet and he was there.
I mean, and this is, like, I mean, it was one of those, like, really lost opportunities, I felt, of, like, because I remember when I saw Madhavan when he came for, like, the lipstick under a burqa, like, he had nothing to do with the film, but he was the opening night guest, and so he did go on stage, he had his little bit to speak or whatever, and he tied it in with the fact that, like, he, you know, lived in Stettler for a bit, and he's had family living around here, so, like, it was really nice to have that kind of, and, like, it would have been nice if Shabana was given the opportunity for her to speak about coming back to the city after a number of years, and how that felt or whatever, but... Nothing. Like, it was literally, they were just there to be used as props is what it felt like. And it just was really disheartening because these are individuals that are so creative and so, you know, well crafted in their art that you wanted to hear and you wanted to, you know, revel in their presence, but we got none of that opportunity, essentially.
They're good at speaking.
Yes.
They should have been allowed to do so.
They should have been allowed to talk, like, to introduce the film, to talk a bit about...
No one even said humor on stage, I don't think.
No.
Yeah, it was really frustrating.
It's disrespectful to the movie.
I didn't really understand, I don't think what the event was and the film should have been connected. Do that during the afternoon.
Have a gala,
Have some sort of event where you have all these opening speeches and then have your opening night film where you start with a Q&A with the guests and then show the film.
Which, I mean, from what I've seen on their Instagram page, they did that with the other movies, like, especially because they did do the premiere of Vikrant Massey's, I think, 36 Sector movie that's coming out.
Section 36, I think? Looks good,
yeah.
Yeah.
Or Sector 36?
Sector 36, okay. And so... Like, I'd seen, like, on Instagram that they had those Q&A and that sort of stuff. And then even Shabana Azmi, they did showed a remastered movie, Masoom, and they had her speak there. And Sami Kher had a different place where she was also doing a little bit of a Q&A. So they did
show Goomer again.
Yes. But this is the thing where it was like, well, then what was the point of the for opening night? Like, they should have just kept it as, like, kind of a gala thing and kept it more maybe like a dinner where people could, like, you know, sit, have a nice meal and... hear and see, and you can do these type of presentations and people aren't upset as much because there isn't this movie being tied to it as well, and it could have gone on as long as it did because
and everyone's sitting there starving,
right? That's the thing, is like, this is such a long like, you know, program that by the time it was like close to 10 o'clock, like, I was starving, you were starving, and then, like, you know, we're all like, just like, let's go eat, like, there's no hope that we don't have the attention to watch the movie, we might as well go fill our belly somewhere close by, right?
And no one has said anything that makes me interested in seeing this movie. I kind of was reading afterwards that Sami Kher, because I thought, I was like, oh, it's interesting that she's played a cricketer twice.
Yeah.
And then I was reading that after the fact, and I was like, oh, that's really interesting. But when we bought tickets for this event, it was pretty much the only thing that they were, like, the rest of the program and the schedule hadn't been announced.
Mm-hmm.
And so we thought, oh, well, this is an opportunity to see all of these people at once.
Yeah.
But we didn't really feel like there's a sunk cost fallacy, right? So we didn't have the best time at this opening night event. And in the weeks leading up to the event, to the opening of the festival, things kept changing on the website and things were very inconsistent. So at one point, Tarsem Singh was also supposed to be in attendance, which would have been amazing. They were going to be showing Dear Jossie, his latest film that I know he showed at TIFF, not this year, but the year before. I would be very interested to see him and that film, but he just, like, disappeared from the website. You can still see him mentioned in some of the promotion.
That might be him. That might not be the organizers, but yes. You have to say something in order to make people understand what's going on.
We don't know. Yeah. There would also be events that would be promoted on Instagram without a date and time that you couldn't find on the website, you couldn't find on the ticket page. again, they said that there would be this workshop with our Balki and Gori Shinde, which I was obviously interested in because I like both of their work, but she wasn't in attendance and they never said anything. Yeah. So you just started to have, and we'd already put money in, had a frustrating experience. I think we still, we're still glad we did it because we did get to see these people.
And we get a podcast.
There's only like, if we were disappointed, so then it's like, oh, well, let's go to this screening of 12th Veil so we can hear Vikram Massey speak. Let's go to this other event. But it's like, no, why would we keep putting money in
if we're not getting value out of it?
Yeah.
So that's how why are we rewarding them?
Yeah, well, exactly.
If we're frustrated, why, like, you know, so on one hand, like, I feel like this is like kind of a weird event review because we didn't, like, really give it our all. But on the other hand, it's just like, you know, I don't want to be Jenny Nicholson talking about the Star Wars hotel and
for
just
five
like
hours,
where you keep investing and investing and investing and you're just and you're frustrated. And by the time they added Sector 36, that was added very late. We already had tickets that night to go see Beetlejuice with my brother.
Also disappointing.
But the thing is like by the time
Beetlejuice didn't even show up.
By the time we had that had been added to the schedule, we had plans.
Yeah.
You know, like because you couldn't go to the website and see like this listing of guests and what events they would be at. Or like a calendar of what was happening. Things kept changing and the marketing on their social media website and the ticket page did not line up. And so, you know, it's just like, do you take the risk? Especially when in big, bold letters, whenever you buy a ticket, it's like no refunds under any
possible reason. And that's part of the reason, like, I work on Saturdays and I'm always contemplating, do I take the Saturday off to attend some of these events, sort of a deal? But I've always seen that things have changed up to the last minute in previous years. So I was like, what is the guarantee that this is actually going to follow through? And I'm like taking off a day of work to attend this, right? And so I've always been very skeptical of it. And it's just feels like they're doing the same kind of thing over and over and over. And I actually am very surprised that we've actually made it to 10 years, truly. Seeing the last, how, like, you know, other than the pandemic year or whatnot, but beforehand, like, again, schedules being helter-skelter and, you know, having the guests show up and, like, things running late and whatnot. It's been very disheartening because like I really want to support the film aspect because film is like that's why we're here is we love film. We love Indian film. We want to support it and we want to help it grow, especially in our community here, right? But it feels like that this group is unfortunately kind of missing the mark on being able to do it with a cohesive, you know, way of scheduling it all. Because, like, you were mentioning, I actually tried to figure out, like, do they have a calendar somewhere? So can I figure this out for myself? But there was nothing available to kind of map it out to me to be like, this is how the weekend's going to go.
They also can't control the weather, but unfortunately it was quite smoky on the Saturday from wildfires.
Well, but film is indoors.
It is indoors. It is indoors, but I do wonder, like, you know, in addition to a poorly planned event, they're also having trouble breathing outside.
Well,
but if they live in Delhi or whatever, then they're used to it.
If they visit Delhi, then they're used to it.
And when you compare it to the International Festival of South Asian Cinema in Toronto and essentially an equivalent festival, the International South Asian Film Festival in Vancouver, when I go to their websites, I can see what's happening. I can see what films they're playing. They are like promoting their events. Like it seems like it's well, I mean, I haven't been in person, so, but at least if I'm considering attending, when I go to a website, I can clearly see all the films that are being played, who the guests are. Shabana Azmi is actually a guest this year at in Toronto.
Is she staying here in October? Like, is she going back and then to
she probably is
going to
go back.
Because
they probably get their flights covered, right?
So much travel.
That's a lot of flying.
It's a lot of flying.
But it just, like, I won't lie, I would be interested in one day, like, actually traveling to attend one of these festivals. They're showing, in Vancouver, they're showing that animated Pakistani film that I've been really interested in, you know, like, and they're really, like, again, it, I don't know. I'm basing this off a website, but they look very professional and very organized. Yes. Whereas the event in my own city, where I have an advantage because it is my own city and I am familiar with this festival and organization, I can't even figure out what's going on. Like, they're posting on Instagram, we're going to do a Q&A with Shavana Azmi, Arbelki, and Sammy Kerr. And I'm like, where?
Yeah.
You didn't...
There was, like, no place to be like, where is this happening? What is it happening?
Yeah. And I, fortunately, I don't... I would love to know if the guests had a good time, because I just feel like they probably didn't. And I will say, Sammy Kerr, when she was... you know, talking about her bags.
On Instagram,
getting lost on Instagram. She said she had a terrible 2 days in Canada. And that just sucks, because I do really think she's a great actress. And it would have been nice just to say, you know, I loved you in Choked.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see... I'd
it's
like
just
to
embarrassing
see
for us as a city.
Well, that's the thing. Like, even, like, because, like, the way that the guests left after the presentation and everything had happened and they were just about to show the movie, it was very kind of abrupt. Like, a few of them left and then others saw that they were leaving, and then the next thing you know, there's, like, an exodus of all of the guests leaving. And so
all
then
the politicians had left by that point.
The politicians had gone, and then the acclaimed guests that were there, they were also leaving. And from, like, my mom actually kind of bumped into Shavana Azmi as she was heading out.
Yes, and she and I were both hovering.
Yes. And she had heard Shavana speaking with her group, being like, I would never come to the city again, which was really horrible to hear. Like, you know, my mom's heart just kind of sank, being like, it's unfortunate that this, you know, unfortunately, the people that were organizing it didn't realize that their disorganization of the whole evening was giving such a bad rep to our city and to us as an audience, that, like, you know, potentially, I don't know if we'll have, like, you know, the same level of actors and film directors come here, because she is very highly looked up to in her community, the film fraternity in Mumbai. And so if she says something about our city and not in the most positive light, that's going to have some weight to it, right?
Yeah. Edmonton is also the festival city. Ooh. That is our motto.
We do festivals every weekend.
Yeah, and we are known for putting on world-class festivals. Ooh. We have the largest fringe theater festival in North America.
Yeah.
One of the oldest. It is world-renowned.
Yes.
We know how to put on a festival.
And it runs really well.
Yeah, and our Street Performers Festival as well is one in top five, you know, in the world. Like, again, we, like, when it comes to festivals, this is part of the reason why I love this city and I love being here in the summers, because we have so much going on all the time.
Our Heritage Festival.
Yeah.
Folk Festival. We do all kinds of things well.
Jazz Fest.
Yes.
Right? Taste of Edmonton.
Cocktails and Jerk.
Yeah. We also have Northwest Fest, which is the longest running nonfiction film festival in Canada.
We have, like, Lit Fest, which is the only, as far as I know, nonfiction literary festival in Canada, and it works great.
Yeah,
and so I think Edmontonians have really high standards when it comes to how a festival is run.
Yeah. And that's why when you see this happening in front of your eyes, you're just like, this could have been done so much more better. This could have been planned so much more better. That it's like, how, like, I wish I could speak to somebody in that, like, group to be like, you guys really messed it up.
Yeah.
Let's work on it to get it better, to get it to regain our reputation, hopefully, for the future. But I'm not sure if they'd like to hear me.
Yeah. And it's also weird when you see the venues they're using. A lot of them are, you know, Metro they used a couple times, but also they're using the Rec Room, which is across the street from a big
And also theater. Not a movie theater.
Not a movie theater.
I don't.
But, like, as bad of a venue as Eau Claire Market was in Calgary, for Calgary International.
Which is no longer going to be.
Yeah, well, they're tearing that building down, but also the Green Line's not happening. It's a huge mess down there. But, like, you could have just got the downtown movie theater, which is not, like, driving in big crowds.
That's where they showed Section 36.
They should have showed everything there. They should have had every event there.
The Edmonton, like, we have an Edmonton International Film Festival here as well, too. And I remember a couple years ago, they brought Deepa Mehta to show Beba Boys. And I remember that's exactly what they did, is they rented out the, you know, At the time, it wasn't Landmark, but now it is. But they rented out the downtown theater.
It was Empire?
Yes, I think so. And so each little, you know, theater, like each little cinema theater had their own movie playing. They had their own schedule happening. And like it was like so well organized. And Deepa Mehta was there for her Q&A and everything, which was amazing. Like, and that's kind of like, you would hope that these people could have gotten an inspiration to run their film festival, knowing that we have a film festival already here that they could have kind of driven inspiration from, but...
There's nine screens there. You could have showed every movie on the program. Yeah. You wouldn't have had to drive people all the way across town all the time. Mm-hmm. It is admittedly, like, the mall is not in great shape, and admittedly that part of town could be a little bit spicy, adventurous, I guess you might say. But at least it's centralized, and you can have events there and control everything.
Yes.
Well, but
and
also,
people would know, go here.
Yeah, but also, you know, they're showing more than one movie at a time, which this festival isn't.
But they could.
So,
would give them the option.
Yeah, but you could also just take over, the Garneau.
Right,
which is
exactly.
like a beautiful historic theater. And they did show some films there, but you need to.
It just seems poorly run in almost everywhere.
Yeah. this has
we're
been
an hour in.
This we're an hour of complaining. But man, I do quickly want to say that we did attend another event.
Yeah, I want to hear about it.
And
this was good.
It
started off rocky.
It was incredible. This event has filled my cup with regards to my personal beliefs when it comes to cinema, my love of cinema, and my passion for Indian cinema. So Matt, do you want to explain what we did the next day? And
quite the roller coaster ride too.
Yeah,
between these two things.
The night, you know, it was the next morning. It was at 10 a.m. the next morning. And the night of the opening gala, I said, we're getting tickets for this event tomorrow morning. We're taking the risk because it just seemed like too big of an opportunity to not take the risk, even though I was unsure about other events happening throughout the week. Like, yes, maybe I would have gotten more opportunity for some of these guests.
Yeah.
But this is the thing I was really passionate about and really wanted to be a part of.
It also points to the way that the gala was organized that, A, you wouldn't have time to look on your phone, and B, they didn't mention any of the other events that were happening.
Well, yeah, that was another very weird thing. We watched a highlight reel, but at no point, like Vigor Massey, in the one opportunity he got to speak, said, I'll be here for the whole festival.
Yeah.
But at no point did they talk about the other things happening during the festival.
That all these famous people are here for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
we had this amazing opportunity the next morning, but had I known it would have been this amazing, I would have told so many more people, not just people we know who love Indian cinema, but people we know in the city who love
just film in
film
general.
Yeah. And they didn't promote this event. Like, I really had to, like, know that this was happening because I had been paying attention.
Yeah, I had no idea. You're the one that mentioned it to me the night before, so I was, quite intrigued by it. But
when I was actively having to...
Yeah.
So we were let down by the opening night. But then the next morning, we made ourselves get up and go to this thing. We take the bus there, we get a coffee, we see some volunteers from the festival going to the wrong door because I don't think that they were told exactly where to go.
Of course.
But we end up going to a property manufacturer's office here in town, downtown.
Cool. Yeah, they held the event in the break room, which...
Weird.
They were a big sponsor of the events. It was a very nice.
It was a very
room.
But if you didn't know what was happening there, there was no sign outside, and even the volunteers were a little bit unclear as to where they went.
Yeah.
But the venue was nice.
It's a kind of talk that you would expect at like Edmonton Public Library or at the U of A somewhere at Grant McEwen. It was a lecture that we attended.
Definitely university setting would have been good, or. Again, something more having to do with movies, but it was a very nicely appointed venue.
EPL also has great venue for movies.
They do.
EPL,
they do.
But anyway, we went to go see Shivendra Singh Dungapur. He's best known for A Celluloid Man, which is a documentary about archivist P.K. Nair.
It's a movie that Matt and I have actually been meaning to watch for years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I regret that we didn't find the time to watch it before we went to hear him speak.
Yeah.
But again, I wasn't even sure, is this guest actually attending?
Right.
Because that seemed in flux.
So, this guy is the founder of the Film Heritage Foundation, which is a nonprofit dedicated to the preservation and restoration of India's film heritage. He's also the intern executive director of the Mami Mumbai Film Festival. So he's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, and so the lecture...
He's best friends with Amitabh Bachchan.
He is. So, and he also has a role in Goomer, which I didn't realize.
That would have been good to mention.
Yes, so the lecture was on the Film Heritage Foundation and its work archiving and preserving film in India. We're not just talking major feature-length films, but also home videos, footage of Nehru and Gandhi that no one had been preserving, no one had been archiving. He said when they needed to show kind of clips of Gandhi, they would use the film.
They would use Ben Kingsley's.
Oh my God!
Isn't that insane?
That's insane.
For Gandhi.
That's insane.
If there's actual Gandhi footage, use Gandhi.
Yeah.
Right. But these, so he does say that the climate in India is actually extremely bad for preserving movies if you don't have climate control because it's both wet and hot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he explained to us the difference between silver nitrate film and the current version of celluloid. And the sort of the challenges that they face in doing this. And he talked about going to Italy to learn how to do this and use
at Bologna.
Yeah. So use like desiccants to pull the water out of film. And he had a slideshow. He showed us this house in, I think it was Dharavi, possibly. It was outside Mumbai.
Yeah.
But it was a house literally built of film canisters.
They basically just
bought it off this family that was living there. Like, yeah, you built your house out of film canisters. Could there be a more like magic realist kind of metaphor for the importance of film in Indian society and also just like poverty and all this stuff and like governmental neglect?
Yeah.
So it was fascinating, and he shows us...
He doesn't get any money from the government to do this.
Yeah, he's a grant. What's a grant? I've never got a grant
in my life. Even though he and his foundation are actively preserving every bit of Indian film heritage they can. And so not just the celluloid, but the costumes and the lobby cards.
Wow.
You know, he showed a picture where he was with Falke's descendants and they had a sari.
From Raja Harishchandra, the first feature, right?
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Like, that should be in a legit film museum, but he's just like talking to the family. Like, sure, it's a family heirloom or whatever, but these sort of things are like incredibly precious.
Mm-hmm. He showed the pictures of how Bachchan was storing his movies, which was something like
we'd heard that before.
Yeah, I knew that Bachchan had been buying his own film.
Well, he put it in his contract that he gets a cut, like he gets a print of every movie he's in.
And that's why
they were able to do this retrospective of Bachchan, because he had his own movies sitting around.
And that's why Bachchan was doing it. Yeah. So
he's such a smart guy. He's just
preserve
like,
it.
No one else is preserving my work. I got to do it myself.
Yeah.
And then he finds this this man to work with. And that's why Bachchan is like the chairman or something of the foundation.
Yeah.
Like he's like the figurehead, basically.
Yeah. And you know, again, like film was seen as disposable.
Mm-hmm.
The government was really only preserving and archiving the film that would win the National Film Award.
Yeah.
And all of this other stuff, again, not just feature-length filmmaking, was being discarded and forgotten about.
He said he had a fascinating story about how when the studios, so like the 40s, 50s, when the studio system was there, they would essentially
He showed the pictures of going in the RK fire, the RK Studios fire.
Yeah, so he was the one that went in there, but like essentially the studios, to get rid of movies, would like mislabel them as mail and then put them into the Indian train system. Like, here's some mail. Oh, you can't deliver it? Well, it's your problem now. Like, that's what the film heritage of the country was doing. And like, okay, so I don't want to talk, you know, poorly about India. I would say that most countries in the world, Western and Eastern alike, have not done an amazing job of film preservation. Like,
no,
Germany is really good, and France is really good.
Yes.
But, like, most other countries, yes, there's, like, missing film footage from every nation, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But what this man has gone on to do is even more amazing in that he's gone to Nepal, Sri Lanka, Afghanistan, and set up the organizations that can handle preserving the film of each of those countries.
Yeah, they're also training and educating the importance of film preservation
and how to,
and
do,
how
it,
to yeah. do it for free.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So all of these countries in the subcontinent can also start their own film archives and start their own preservation work because it's so incredibly important.
Yeah.
And again, it was, he talked about how, you know, film doesn't have borders, which really resonates with me as a fan of so much world cinema.
Yeah.
And it's just like, we, Matt and I are so used to these stories of like, oh, they found five more seconds of Metropolis in a basement somewhere in Argentina. They found this treasure trove of silent movies in up in Dawson City. This is like
the Jeanne d'Arc movie was in a closet in some insane asylum in Finland or something. But, and now it gets re-released in 4K. Mm-hmm. You know, people put their money behind
it. But this is that times a thousand.
Yeah.
Like, these are homes made out of film canisters that they are taking and now preserving. And the people paying for these preservations are Martin Scorsese and George Lucas and Wes Anderson and Christopher Nolan, because they are major figures in international cinema who care passionately about the preservation of movies. And so seeing all these pictures, hearing all of these stories, they also want to all the films that they preserve, when they show them, it's really important that it either be free or cost as little as possible for a ticket so everyone can go see them.
He said the Bachchan screenings, because he's done Bachchan, he's done what?
Devanand,
and there's a South Indian guy who, I apologize, I don't know the name of, but that's the one that's on right now.
Yeah.
But he said, 100 rupees, everyone can go. Like, and he was showing us videos of just people losing their minds, just having a great time watching Amitabh Bachchan films.
Yeah, describing the talk, like, is only scratching the surface of just how incredible it was for me as a film lover, and as a film lover who...
And a lover of break room.
who watches movies all the way back to the silent era, and who, you know, Matt and I have been studying and consuming Indian cinema for a good decade now, and there's so many movies that we read about that either there are no copies of. I guess he has the only celluloid copy existing of Zanjeer.
Oh wow.
And it was Bachchan's.
Oh damn.
You know, all these movies we read about, or but there are so many other things, like, you know, we've read about the serials, the Indian serials from back in the day.
A picture of Fearless Nadia.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't talk down to us, which I appreciated. We were the only white, well, there was one other white lady there, but like, it was just sort of like a conversation of just, you know, if you have found this place where I am, you kind of know exactly what sort of movies we're talking about. You're not going to know everything, but he's not just sort of like, here's Bollywood.
Exactly. Like, just, we've read so much, or, so either we can't find them, or we find really, like, copies that are not in great condition, that don't always have subtitles. Or, if we're lucky, we find a decent copy with some subtitles. Yeah. Like, Matt and I were watching Mahal the other night, the India's first horror film. And, like,
and we realized
sound,
that,
luckily, we don't need to listen to it to understand it, because the sound was just awful.
But we do realize that subtitles, you know, that's not a deal breaker. The movie should be preserved in its actual form.
Yeah.
Subtitles is a nice add-on for us, but, like, you know, in doing the Bachchan series, we've been, like, trawling around just trying to find copies of any movie from a year. And we're up to less than 30 years ago, and some of these are very difficult to find.
And what's amazing to me is this man flew here from Venice, where he was at the Venice Film Festival, premiering a new restoration that George Lucas paid for. Like, I just...
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah.
This was an incredible opportunity that I think so many people in this city, so many archivists, cinephiles, like, whether or not you are fans of Indian cinema, if you're a fan of film, this was a... It was amazing.
It was a real treat. Yeah.
And, should have been in a better venue.
And I just felt so bad that, like, I didn't tell anyone because I wasn't sure.
He also very much at the beginning said, you know, archivists in Germany, for example, they only have to collect one language.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm doing between 9 and 40.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because he's not just doing Hindi. He's not just doing South Indian languages. He's doing all of them as much as he can.
And they also also celebrate projectionists. The foundation celebrates projectionists.
They have an award that they give out to projectionists.
Like, I've gotten kind of emotional.
We saw pictures of just some guy wearing a toque, and he's like a projectionist, and it's like, here's an award for being the best projectionist. Like, that guy should get celebrated. How much entertainment has he given people?
Oh, totally.
And it's hard to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just like...
It's a dying art form.
I admit, like, I've been dealing with a lot of burnout lately about just a lot of stuff, and this was just like I said, like, fill up my cup.
Yeah.
But then I was so frustrated. I was talking to some of my friends who are also big film lovers and lovers of, you know, like, world cinema and silent era cinema, and telling them about this, and they were just like, wow, I would have gone.
Yeah.
And I was like, I know you would have gone.
Yeah, the festival doesn't really make any outreach to anyone.
No.
Not in the Indian community, let's say, right? Yeah. Like,
which I think is a missed opportunity, because... When I look at the websites for some of the other festivals that happen in Canada, like, they do seem like come and experience these films. Like, they seem open to everyone. And it's not that I don't think the India Film Festival of Alberta isn't open to everyone. They just don't seem to know how to get different kinds of people through the door.
I think they rely heavily on, like, their social media, like their Instagram and Facebook and email, like, newsletters and that. And so if you're not signed up to this stuff, then you really have no other way of, like, finding out this information. Like, they're not... I mean, I did hear that perhaps one of the main organizers went on Global News, but it was literally 2 days before the event was going to happen, which is, to me, that's not enough time to go out and do this, because it's, like, it's too late. Like, most people have already kind of got their weekends planned out by then. Like, that should have been done at least a month in advance, being like, hey, we've got this amazing lineup, this is what's happening, here's our schedule,
get on the radio, you know, all kinds of stuff.
And Edmonton is a very multicultural city. Mm-hmm. Like, people do, like the Heritage Festival, you know, is this huge celebration of multiculturalism, and people here,
maybe at the India stand, have a sign saying, oh, by the way, movie's coming soon.
Well, like, they do, like, step outside of their own cultural group and experience art and culture from other places.
Yeah.
But I do find, like, it's like we knew about it and we know how to navigate it, but it doesn't necessarily seem open.
I will say, like, I did see on their social media that they were going to a lot of, like, they went to the Munthers and when there's a couple of different festivals happening there to, like, you know, had a table there and were help promoting there. But I didn't see that happening as far as, like, outside of the community as much, perhaps, of them going to perhaps, like, you know, Heritage Days and being there. So,
or there's also the, like, regular film festival. The
huge community of cinephiles and like regular attendees of Metro Cinema, our nonprofit film society here in Edmonton. And, like, when they were showing Dawn last year at Metro, I said to the programmer, like, hey, you know, I actually have a one sheet of Dawn if you guys wanted to put it up in the theater to advertise that the screening is happening. And she was like, I didn't even know that the screening was happening.
Because there was maybe 30 people there when we saw Dawn.
Oh, that's
and had horrible. You promoted that, you could have had a full house.
Oh, you could have easily, because that is like an iconic movie. And I know, like, if my mom had known about it, she would have loved to have joined. But again, there's no, you know, mass marketing out there. There's no way, again, of knowing what's happening. So then, people miss out on it. And then they've lost opportunity to build their film festival, which... I mean, one of the things I find so weird that, you know, we've talked about before is the fact that they're doing this. They did it in Edmonton. They were in Calgary this past weekend. Mm-hmm. And now I don't know where they're going next. But basically, they're going to multiple different cities. I'm like, why are they going across the country when we can perhaps, you know, focus on making it a big thing here? Because Vancouver has their own. Toronto already has their own. What is this bringing to those cities that they don't already have?
What's the value add? What does going to this screening add to the enjoyment of the film? There's lots of Indian people who live up in Fort Mac, right? Like, lots of Indian people everywhere, but, like, a lot of these movies, Goomer, for instance, you could just watch on Netflix. Like, what is there a discussion? Is there programming that is apart from the film screening?
And also, like, a discovery aspect, because, you know, maybe we're aware that some of these films are available on streaming, mm-hmm. that they're not necessarily new films. But, you know, when I think about, you know, the potential audience, and I don't want to say that, you know, the Indian Film Festival needs to cater or market to non-South Asian people, mm-hmm. but the motto of the festival and of Edmonton Movie Club is bridging cultures through cinema. And so it just seems like an opportunity mm-hmm. to bring film lovers and people who, you know, appreciate art together.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like such a missed opportunity mm-hmm. because I don't think the people sitting, so hilariously, Nim and her mother were sitting in two seats, and then there were two people in between us.
We're there to see the movie.
And then there was Matt and I. But I don't think those two people in between us knew or cared that the film was available on streaming.
No, they were there for the event and to have that experience of, you know, being at this, like, opening night movie event.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, like... Yeah, it was unfortunate because, like, they were clearly there for a certain reason and they didn't even get to stay to enjoy it because it was too late because, you know, they had family functions and things to attend the next day and they were like, I can't stay up for another 2 hours after this.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, you post a time when something's going to happen. You know, you can have a little bit of accidents here and there, but try and get there. Well, let's be constructive. What would you two do to fix this thing? I already said my suggestion, take over the downtown theater, mm-hmm. do every event there. You can do as many screenings as you want. No one goes there, so it's probably pretty cheap to get the whole building, I would say.
I would just focus on, like, one event, and also publish, like, a very clear program and calendar and schedule, and also
with minimal spelling errors, because that always bugs me.
And also make the events accessible, and really, like, you know, when you're following the social media, sometimes it'd be like, oh, this screening is starting now.
Yeah.
You need
that doesn't help.
Promote things ahead of time so that people can plan to attend and have an expectation, an idea of what they're going to be getting out of this event. And also move all of your kind of speeches and handshaking to, like, kind of just like an afternoon thing. A lot of festivals in the province do that. They kind of do that.
Have a cocktail party.
Yeah, they do that thing kind of earlier in the day, in an afternoon, and make your kind of opening night film event focused on the film.
Yeah.
No, what would you do?
I think it comes down to having a really good organized group of individuals where that you've got a structure to, like, you know, I think part of it is sometimes you see that one person is trying to control multiple different things because mm-hmm. they feel that they're the only ones that can actually, you know, do it and pull it through. But when you have that centralized kind of problem, power, the problem that you run into with it is that there's going to be fires and you can't be everywhere to mm-hmm. put out those fires, which is what was happening with this entire evening. And so you need to have a good group of people that know, you know, first of all, time your, you know, performances, know how much time that's going to take.
Yeah. Did they have a dress rehearsal? Do you think they did?
I don't think they did. Yeah. It didn't feel like it. It felt like everything was just running off the top of, like, their, like, you know,
The host definitely hadn't read the script.
And then on top of that, like, you know, have it, like you said, like, I think the biggest thing was, like, the speeches were just so unnecessary.
Yeah.
And the main organizer and if the MCs had kind of just talked to each other, they could have, you know, brought down that whole, like, introduction of all the guests to be into a single, like, either he would have done it or they should have done it. Like, there was no need to have two separate groups do the exact same thing right after the other, because it was just, it takes away from the audience's attention because you've just heard it. Now you're hearing it a second time. And that, his speech was probably the most unorganized speech that was there. He was everywhere.
Off
the top of his head. It was everywhere. He really didn't have a point to it. It felt more as if he was trying to showcase his networking abilities, that he knew all of these people because of such and such, you know, thing that he's done and how he's met them and whatnot, versus the actual event that was happening that night. And it was a bit off-putting for me because I've never seen this person. I've never heard him speak before.
Yeah.
And, like, because at other events, I feel like he's always kept it to a minimum. This is the first time, like, he really took the time to like go out there.
Yeah.
And so to me, it was very off-putting because that's not what I'm there for. I'm there to see a movie. I'm there to hear from the actors that were in that movie. And when none of that is happening, how you know these people or how you got these people doesn't matter to me. So, yeah.
Well, they had a ton of volunteers.
They're all kids,
but also, you know, assign each one of them a VIP. Mm-hmm. Like, you got the mayor, you've got Gloobish or whatever, and then get them organized and ready to go rather than us spending a minute and a half watching them transit to the stage.
Well, and even, like, that sponsorship presentation, like, it's one of those things that I get that they have to do because the sponsors need to have their moment in the stage with the,
never seen that level of like congratulatory pomp and circumstance around the big corporate sponsors.
But also, all those guys went on stage and got an award, didn't know who any of them were, and I didn't see the logo, like, that should have been on the screen. You should have the logos of all the funders and have that rotating. They just had their thing, like...
It's 100% very important to acknowledge, of course, both your corporate and your public sponsors. And funders. Mm-hmm. But I've never seen that level. Like, usually it's just you include it in every single piece of marketing material.
It's you have your pamphlets, you have your signage, you know, that sort of thing. Like, they had, like you said, just on the projector throughout the thing. It was just, you know, their little, like, logo that they had up there. But that was a missed opportunity for them to have their sponsors' names running through. I mean,
the private meet and greet stuff. Like, that's fine, because it's not taking up our time.
Exactly, but then there was no need to do that on stage. Then if the sponsors already had their meet and greet moment, I don't understand what the need was to do it on stage. They could have taken those pictures and done those type of things behind the scenes. And I'll say, because I went to the Rehat Fateh Ali Khan concert on Sunday, and because there was a similar kind of fiasco on the Friday night in Calgary where there's a sponsorship presentations that took like half an hour of their program time, of which takes away from a concert anyways, right? So they realized that they didn't want to do that. So on Saturday, like on Sunday when I went, it was amazing to see that they did the quick presentation right in the beginning, and then they said, we're not taking any intervals or breaks, we're just going to run through, and he put on an amazing performance for like 2.5 hours straight, right? Like, that's what you want, is you can have that acknowledgement, do it quick and fast, but then we want to get on with the rest of it, because that's what the audience is there for.
And the audience is not there to see property developers shake hands.
No, and that's where I think the organizers didn't understand, is that when you're doing an event like this, you're doing it for the audience. Like, it's not for you to get your, like, you know, little, like, pat on the back that we pull this off kind of a deal, right?
And it's also frustrating that they have brought in a great assortment of movies over the years.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we mostly go see the Hindi ones, but they bring in lots of languages, lots of important films. Didn't mention a single one. You know, you have your little trailer for the season, doesn't explain what any of those movies are, doesn't explain when they're happening, doesn't explain when any event is happening. It truly just felt like that handshake thing.
I also just remembered, we never got the promised filmed introduction
from
Abhishek Bachchan.
We were promised
a filmed, personalized message from Abhishek Bachchan.
That almost feels like, oh, we're running long, let's pull Abhishek. Like,
which, I mean...
No, I don't think he ever filmed it.
You don't think he did, though?
No, I mean, if they had it, they would have 100% put it. Because that's something that would have, again, made them look like, oh, look what we got pulled off. I don't think they managed to Then don't promise, right? Like, it's better to, like... Like, it's referring back to Awesome's, like, old, like, casting, under-promise, over-deliver, right? Yeah.
It's a good motto.
It's like...
But, like, we go to fringe shows. If you don't know what they are, they're, like, community theater, basically. It can be, you know, professional, but you can also do a fringe show if you're just, like, doing a one-woman show or something.
Yeah, Six started out as a fringe show.
True. But the organization of your average fringe show... is like, they've got the land acknowledgement down, it's recorded, they have the funders on screen, so you know who funded it. Like, just any, even if it could be a high school thing, you know, like Concord Floral, we saw any of those is just better run because they have a series of things, they have a checklist of things that they have to do, they do them in order, and then they get to the actual reason why people went.
I mean, I've never been to like the opening night kick off of Fringe. I don't know how it compares, but...
But you don't have a whole play afterwards. That's the thing. Yeah. The opening night kickoff is hanging out.
Just, I mean, that's what I think. Like, if they want to do the gala night as a gala night, that is a completely separate type of event.
Yeah. That's a really good opportunity to do a fundraiser.
Exactly. Yeah. And then that's
kick
where...
It in. That's where your rich people go and they mingle, right?
Yeah. And then, like... You can get your sponsorships and your donations set up for, like, the next year going forward or whatever, right?
But don't waste Siobhan Osmey's time.
Like, I mean, I really felt like they were just sitting there being like, why are we here? What is the purpose
of this? I'm not going to vote for this guy, right?
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. She can't vote for this guy. It was, I don't know.
Yeah.
It was a failure on many levels, but then we had a great experience the next day, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We didn't attend any of the other events, which in hindsight I think we would have gotten more out of, but we had already kind of put the time and effort into this event, and so after you have a bad experience, you know, like it's tough to then take a risk on more potentially bad experiences and spending more money. And when we bought tickets to the opening night gala, we didn't know about the other things happening, and we thought we'd hear them.
We thought that was going to be like one of the main things, right? That you could hear from them or whatever, because like you said, there was nothing else, no idea of like what other films they were going to be showing, what the other Q&As were going to be like.
They've been better at this before.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like being their 10th year, you would think by now they would have had a better system going for it, but I felt like this is kind of, in some ways, it was the peak of bringing people here.
And stakes were high because of the guests.
But do I think that they're going to be at the same level next year? I really have my doubts.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a good place to end it on. We've run pretty long on like a local event, although, you know, I
think it's an interesting conversation.
I think it is. Again, I felt like this was our Star Wars hotel episode.
Well, it's also one of those things where it's like, you know, it was, you know, Indian film directors and actors here, and we had such a great opportunity. Yeah. Hopefully, like, I was really hoping that it helped to put our city on the map, but I think it kind of did the opposite of
it
that.
It did in a bad
way. I would have loved to have asked Arbalki about Shop.
Yeah.
Like,
Shop is a fascinating
movie. That movie is fascinating.
It's bonkers.
Yeah.
Easiest to escape serial killer of all time.
I also, like, I actually am one of the fans of Key and Ka. I liked Key and Ka.
I actually did enjoy it too. Like, I love the concept of it.
Yeah, so it's not like...
But he might as well have not been there.
Yeah.
What was the
disappointing
point? There's like no event done for him.
All right. Well, Nim, tell the people where they can find you.
Well, you can find me across all social medias at Maple Brownie. Pretty straightforward and simple. And thank you guys for having me back.
No, I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
And download Bollywood Drafts.
Yes.
So you can get a triple dose of Nim there. And soon more Matt and I.
That's what you've always wanted.
We'll be back hopefully pretty soon. We have another Bakchan episode in the works. We're going to be discussing the 90s. In the meantime, Matt, how can people keep up the show?
Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, etc.
If you're a fan of the show, please consider leaving us a star rating and a review on your podcatcher of choice. Then you can collect your Biffle points. While you're doing that, you can also check out my other show that I do with Paul Matwichuk called Trash Art in the Movies. We're doing an episode right away here on Dave and Kegamusha. I'm sure that is a
the linkage makes sense.
That's a conversation. It does. Yeah. It does.
Do you know who would put on a great film festival?
Tuffy.
Tuffy would do.
We also want to thank Becca Dahlke for our artwork. And we want to give a shout out to the woman who was wearing the Govinda shirt.
Yeah, we were trying to find you afterwards. If you hear this, ask us, we'll give you your Biffle point.
Yeah.
You're getting one because you wore a Govinda t-shirt and it ruled.
It did rule.